Welcome to the Tag Republic podcast, a weekly chat with Carolina Guzik about all things marketing. Some episodes are short tips that you can implement in your business right away, while others are in-depth conversations with industry leaders. Whether you're a new photographer searching for some knowledge or an established professional with years of experience, Carolina offers fresh and innovative advice that can help you transform your photography business.
This episode is sponsored by The Art of Pinning, a self-paced Pinterest class for wedding and lifestyle photographers. If you are having a hard time driving traffic into your website, or SEO is overwhelming you, or the people that are visiting your website are not the kind of visitors, aka they're not converting into clients, then this class is for you. You can find more information at www.thetalkrepublic.com/Pinterest, or just follow the link in the notes. Now, enjoy this episode.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Talk Republic. Today, I have a very special guest that I've been slightly stalking for the past 15 years, Jonathan Collas.
Hi, how's it going, everybody?
Do I have a good Filipino accent for your last name?
Yes. So, you know, like most people in the States will call me Canlas. But if you go back to the Philippines in Pampanga, where that last name is like Smith, it's Canlas.
Oh, I love the Canlas. Okay, we're going to rebrand you this year.
Okay.
Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to talk to you about a handful of stuff that seems to be backwards, but works for me. So
I can't wait to dive into this because this is it's going to be controversial, especially for me. Like, I'm trying to like rewire my brain to have this conversation, if I'm being honest. And I am very excited because we're going to talk about not having a website for your work. So if you have been listening to this podcast for a long time, you know that I have posted many, many episodes about why websites are really, really important. And when I reached out to John, I was like, hey, we'd love to have you on my podcast. And he's like, okay, what do you want to talk about? Because I don't even have a website. I'm like, what? That's what we're going to talk about, sir. That is what we're going to talk about. So here we are. Before we dive into today's topic, and while I take a minute to breathe because I'm sweating already about it, introduce yourself just for people that perhaps don't know you.
Okay. My name is Jonathan Canlas, or Canlas, depending if you're going to go with the Tagalog pronunciation. I've been a photographer. I picked up a camera while living in Japan. In another life, I was like a Mormon missionary, you know, like a helmet and a bike and a name tag and some other kid from Utah traveling, like riding our bikes around Tokyo. I got into photography while living in Japan and then like decided I wanted to do it after doing a study abroad in London that had nothing to do with photography. I'd completed a Japanese and Asian studies major at Brigham Young University and had an internship lined up to go work for Sony in Tokyo and turned it down. Like, I'm done. I'm done with college. Like, I've done 4.5 years of college. I've got a gym class left. And I told them, I was like, I'm not doing this. So I went to London on a study abroad because my roommate said, come. He also enticed me that, you know, there's only 6 dudes and 55 girls and all the concerts in the world were coming there. And I was super into music. So I was like, yeah, let's go do this. I have nothing else to do. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. So I went, saw a ton of shows, went to saw all my favorite bands, right? I think the best thing I ever saw was Ben Folds. Ben Folds 5 played at the Royal Albert Hall, which was incredible.
Nice.
But I shot 300 rolls of 35 millimeter film in 4 months and decided, holy crap, I love this. Because I was already doing it, you know, and like before I went to London. So this was the fall of 1999. I'd already got hired, like my first wedding. I got hired for $400 and I drove to Idaho. I did engagements, bridals, drove to Idaho, drove to Utah for the wedding and the reception in Idaho like 2 weeks later and got paid $400. It's horrible. I didn't know what I was doing. It's fine.
We all have to start somewhere.
We also, and I started way at the bottom. So after I came home from London, I applied for the BFA program and they let me in. By the time I graduated college, which was April of 2004, I was already shooting like 30 to 40 weddings a year.
I think this is about the time that I found you. On the web.
On the web. I had a website.
When you had a website. And I was always like, you know, checking your work, finding really tons of inspiration, doing a lot of looking and not a lot of shooting, which that was my story. Yeah. But I always thought, oh my God, so great to be able to photograph, you know, weddings. Like in my mind, that was impossible. Like when I became a photographer, it was really by coincidence. And I thought that that was a job that didn't exist, kind of a thing.
Yeah, and I think most wedding photographers, like, you don't wake up one day and are like, man, I hate Saturdays and I love brides. Let's shoot weddings, right? Like, no, I don't think so. No, someone comes at you with a stack of money that you've never seen before. And they're like, we want you to take photos, which you love to do, at a wedding. And you're like, okay, I'll take that stack and let me apply what I've been doing to weddings. Right?
Absolutely. My first wedding was a destination wedding without a contract. So I don't even know what the story was about.
Like it just, now mind you, okay, let me just preface this for everyone that's listening to this. Is having a website important? Yes. It is absolutely important. But also at the same time, it's not. And here's why.
Tell us. Laid fake.
In my opinion, a website is stagnant work.
Okay. And why is that?
So for example, like if I had a website now, so let me go through my story again. Shot weddings. I shot two weddings last year. I've quit and I've come back. But I'm pretty much done with it. I've transitioned to mostly shooting families. So I shot weddings for like 24 years and realized probably about a decade and a half into it, I'm not a wedding photographer because there's certain parts about weddings I absolutely hate. The second the reception starts, I'm done. I'm checked out. I hate this. All I'm doing is waiting for you to throw something, cut something, or leave. Like, I don't care about these photos. I care about the photos of the family and the people that like matter to you. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're, like the party is fine, but I've been to maybe, I could count on three fingers, receptions that I was like, man, I love being here. The rest of the time, it's like, okay, I'm here because it's a job. The stuff that I love already happened. So I transitioned into shooting families. And, you know, I feel all of my work, I love shooting families now. Like, I'll shoot that till I'm done. Like, I love doing what I do. But everything that I've kind of done before was always like a stepping stone.
Okay.
It was something that was going to fund what I really want to do. Like, if money wasn't an issue, right? What was I going to pick my camera up and shoot? It's not brides. It's not somebody else's. It's not no kids when I'm running around trying to chase them. Do you know what I mean? Like there's certain aspects of like, just say my family. Like I always document my family. If you've been following me, you know this.
You have a large family also, right? How many kids do you have?
I have 6 kids.
And you guys look like a band. Every single time I look at your photos, I'm like, okay, when is this single dropping? Like,
You know, that's really funny because before I became a wedding photographer, I was super into music and I was shooting bands all the time. I'd go to concerts, like, and this is back in like the late 90s when people weren't really doing this. I have a lot of people that even just work here at the lab that like are band photographers. They're getting passes and doing all this stuff. I thought I was going to go to New York and shoot bands. And then I realized like one, that's not really conducive to having like the family life that I wanted. Mm-hmm. And there's no money.
True.
So anyone that's going to boohoo weddings, like when I was in college, all the kids, like it was embarrassing to say that you shot weddings, right? It was like everyone, because they're going to go, I mean, BYU was really good at putting people in internships. Like there were kids that went off that worked with David LaChapelle, Merritt Riel and Mark. There were people with, I'm drawing a blank, but the lady that shoots.
Annie Leibovitz.
They were good at putting people in internships there. That's crazy. You know, and I didn't go to New York. My internship, I worked for Kodak during the Olympics in Salt Lake. But all of those kids that went out and did that became, you know, they assisted. They were assistants for a while, but they never, there were, I could say maybe 2 or 3 of them went on to actually do something. Mm. And a lot of those kids came back that boohooed me and were like, hey, how did you create this thing that now you're shooting weddings and making a profitable living, you know, off of doing it? So I had a website at the beginning. I built my first website. I took an HTML class in college. That's how old I am. I don't look it, but I'll be 49 this year.
You don't look it.
No.
You don't.
If I shave, I look like I'm in my late 20s or 30s. When I hang out with my kids, they all think I'm their brother. Their friends think I'm their brother, which is flattering. It's great. But where was I going with this?
So you built your website, which is still uses website, Flash. Right? Because I went to your website and it's like, you need to update your Flash. I'm like, oh, Lord, what's going on here?
That's how old this website is. So, you know, I was rocking and rolling. Like I said, I don't really shoot much in Utah. I cut my teeth shooting weddings in Utah. And then I got hired for a destination wedding and things just exploded from there. And I was going all over the country. I mean, I've been to places I'd never go on my own because of weddings. Like I'd been to the island of Curacao. I didn't even know where that existed until someone hired me, you know?
It is a beautiful wedding. I mean, beautiful island for weddings. I've shot one of my destination weddings there.
Yeah. And it's great. And so, you know, when I had my website, it was a lot of wedding work and I had some personal work on there. But like going back to it's, I think about it now. I mean, even still, like if I was to have a website now, I don't know that I would have a website for my professional work.
Okay. But hold on. There's a lot of happening in here. We're going to have to break this down. So you did have a website, right?
I did have a website.
You did have a website. And this website allowed you to reach people that perhaps if you wouldn't have had a website, that perhaps they would have never hired you or met you. Like for me, like if you wouldn't have had a website, I would have never known about you. I'm in Miami, you're in Utah.
Yeah,
who you are.
But even still, like with the website, I think social media is what got my work out there.
But I'm going to disagree
and social
on that.
Media back then was like a blog. You
exactly. Because I was going to say, this was 15 years ago. There was no social media. Wow, we're two dinosaurs talking. there was no social media, but we were all, not we, but like a lot of people were blogging. And was really important to blog your sessions. Technically, the portfolio part of your website, nobody was looking at, but the blogging is what kept people going.
And that's what I still feel is that like your website, like someone's going to go there once. Like there's no call to action to have me go back. Of course, if I'm hiring you and I'm looking at our photographers, like I'm a bride or a groom, I'm going to look at your website. I've got probably five other tabs of other photographers, right? And then we're price shopping. What looks best. And maybe once in a while, you're going to get that client's like, I'm hiring because I love this work, right? But most people are like tire kicking, right? Like, what is it about yours? It's great. Okay. This one might be a little bit more expensive, but their work is better, right? So like, you've got these, if you have a website, the work should be updated. So for me currently, if I was to have a website, the only reason I would want a website is to showcase the work I was telling you about that was being funded as a stepstone by my weddings, right? Like the things that so I've done a lot of personal projects. I documented Pearl Harbor, like the commemoration of like the bombing of Pearl Harbor, December 7th. Veterans would show up to Pearl Harbor all the time and I would just show up with a camera and I'd shoot it. And I shot that for 7 years. And it's one of the best bodies of work I feel I've ever created. I covered Kahuku football while I lived on Oahu for two seasons. And the first season that I did decide to cover them, they never lost. I think they had 23 points scored against them and they won states. Like at just right place, right time, right? I've done a lot of work with murdered and missing indigenous women. I've done some activist work with Mauna Kea. Some stuff with Standing Rock. Stuff like to me is the work that represents who I am as a human and as a photographer. And because of that work, yes, of course, I can show up to your family and be able to do what it is that I do. But that's what I would want to showcase. And again, it's pretty stagnant until I start finding new projects, right? Like even when I was shooting weddings, I was always working on personal projects. Like to me, being a photographer wasn't about only picking up my camera when someone hires me.
Which I think is where a lot of people, I include myself, fall into. which it becomes like a job, really. Oh, he's grumpy. I better quit right now.
Look, okay, let me, I know we're talking about website, but let me just say this, right? I want you to think about why you ever decided to become a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all share this, right? Mm-hmm. There is some kind of magic about being behind a camera and expressing yourself visually, correct? Okay. And somehow some of us are lucky enough to have had that become a job and or career, right?
Correct.
But at the end of the day, in my opinion, for photographers, any working photographer, when you pick up a camera, it should be outside of when someone is paying you. If you're only picking up a camera when someone is paying you, this is a job.
Correct.
And I don't mean to diminish for anyone, and I don't want to offend anyone, but I would question why you're not picking it up outside of your paid gigs. And this kind of maybe ties into who also my introduction. I only shoot film. Okay. I own last April. So I used to be part of the Hybrid Collective.
Yes.
Workshop, right, for hybrid shooters. And last April, we did one in Florida, and I was sitting at TAP, like the Archetype Process booth.
Mm-hmm.
And a Fuji GFX R with like a Zeiss lens on it. And they were shooting black and white and square. And I was like, what the hell is this? And to me, it looked great. And I bought one. So I own a GFX 50R that I shoot once.
Tell us.
It's fun. You know, it's okay. It's not film, but like, I also am coming from a different, I guess, discipline,
mm-hmm.
film versus digital. When I pick up that digital camera, like I'm still shooting it as if I'm shooting a film camera. So like one of my main cameras, when I load it with film, I am limited to 10 photos.
Got it.
10. And then I got to reload. And that's at like a wedding. That's at a family session. Could you imagine?
I could not imagine because I'm an overshooter. So I cannot imagine this. But I do appreciate, like when I see, talking just about my own business, I try to do like a lot of inner work. Sometimes doesn't work, but like I try to see myself outside of what's happening. And I do admire the concept of film. I'm like, I need to slow down. I don't need to shoot 100 images of the same photo. Like I need to get better at just shooting that good photo and allowing a space for me as an artist and as a human. I am not a machine. I'm not here like, which technically I am doing that because, you know, the camera that I use, but when I'm editing, I'm like, Tim, Carolina, slow down. That's what we need. We need to slow down.
Yes. Here's the thing. No one signed up to be a photographer to sit behind a computer.
Correct.
Ever. That like death. Kill me. I want to quit. I'm done. This is how people leave the industry.
Yes.
Right? Because they go to events and then they overshoot and then they have to somehow either they do it themselves and have to go through and call.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I will never present a client with an image that looks anything similar, right? So say you took 30 photos of the big family. Now I have to sit here at this computer and decide which one was the best.
Correct.
Had I maybe like taken 3 or 4, it would be really easy to go through these 3, see who's blinking, delete, swap some faces, swap some eyes, done. Versus however long it's going to take you or how much money you're going to outsource to have someone call for you. I would never pay anyone to call for me. Are you kidding me? This is my work. Like, this is my voice, right? Like, I just can't fathom wanting to like sit behind a computer and enjoy the idea of it. My joy and why I think anyone ever picks up a camera is being behind the camera, being in the moment, being able to like use your voice and your personality to like say what it is that you want. I was just talking to someone this morning. Photography to me is 5% pushing a button. That's it. The other 10% of that is anticipation, knowing when you need to push that button. And then the other 85% of photography is your personality, flat out.
I love that. I've never had this conversation with anybody.
Oh, it's totally true. Look, okay, so for example, say you get into like a workshop, right? I think this is kind of the I'm just gonna get on my soapbox here. It's the problem about the industry currently. What I'll do is I'll tell everyone to give me their phone and pull up their Instagram and scroll so I can't see your name. We're gonna put them all down on the table and I'm gonna shuffle them. And then we're gonna pick out whose is whose.
Okay.
9 times out of 10, they all look the same.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now, that's not to say there aren't very distinct voices in the industry. There are. But there also is a lot of monotony.
Correct.
Mary is doing this, you know, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I want to be able to throw my phone down in this pit of everybody and everyone be like, well, that's John Canlis. And you call me John Canlis when you don't owe me money or if you're my friend. If you call me Jonathan Canlis, that means you owe me money or you're my mom.
Got it. So we're at John.
Yeah, we're at John. Definitely call me John. So where were we?
I don't know how this conversation went somewhere else, but I love it and appreciate it. So, okay. So let's kind of like try to go back to.
Yeah, let's go back. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine, which I really love this because sometimes conversations are about exploring and how, you know, things can, you know, shift. And that's really good for my brain because I'm very type A. So sometimes it's good just to go on a walk.
I have ADHD. I'm currently on Adderall. So I'm trying not to ping. But I'm pinging.
Listen, we're good. We're good because everything is working. So here is when we're gonna start like splitting hairs, because here is when like my I want it to be a lawyer brain kicks in. Okay. You tell me that you don't have a website, but currently I am on a platform where you are showing your work. Isn't that a website?
It's a proofing site. So you're referring to my InstaProof site.
Correct.
So I am a photographer, and I would say 95% of my work is travel. Meaning someone from another state is going to hire me in a city with a handful of other families at the same time, or I'm going to somewhere for a workshop, and I need to be able to show these people. People are not coming to my studio in Payson. I live in Payson, Utah.
Okay.
Let me also explain what Payson is. Payson is an hour south of Salt Lake City. After my town, there is no civilization. Like people, that's where like grandparents live, or it's like you're going to like Zion or Moab, right? I live in a very small country town. Footloose was filmed there, right? People are not coming to me to like sit down and do post things and let's figure out what you want to order. I also don't have the patience for said thing. And like, I'm sick of my work after like a week. So the idea of sitting down with a client and be like, which one do you like? Oh my God, poke my eyes out. I don't want to look at this work anymore. Like it was great. Don't get me wrong. It's good. But I'm never satisfied. So I need a solution where people can go online, order what they want, when they want. And that's what you're looking at. Now, I post everything I shoot there. Mm-hmm. So I shoot all film, but I'm also hybrid in the fact that I'm dealing with files. So everything is high-res scanned. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not in a dark room like, oh, I'm scanning negatives or like, and I own a lab. I scan my work once, maybe every 3 months.
Uh-huh.
I pay someone else to do that because I like being behind the camera, right? But I post everything on my Instagram because this acts as an online backup. So I high-res upload everything. All of my files can be accessible via Instagram in seconds. I can just find the image, download it, send it to whoever I need to. I also back up on Dropbox, but that's a whole other story. I don't password protect any of my galleries. And here's why. Just like any retail online experience, the longer you're on that site, the more likely you are to smash that buy button.
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
And so for people to be on my site longer than they normally would, I'm never showing anything chronological. Good Lord, is that boring. If I go to your wedding and I see your proofing site, and it's chronological, I'm out. You have not shown me what I want to see. You've basically walked me into like, say, I'm going to go try and buy a TV at Best Buy. And you put the TV in the basement by the bathroom that no one knows about. I'm not going to buy your TV. I walk in, I'm out. Like you walk into a store, things are placed in specific places for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. Things are in the front on the end caps. That's where they're making their most money. So, like if you come into any of my proofing sites, and say it's a wedding, I'm not going to show your wedding chronologically. because the best photos were not the first photos.
Which is true.
Right? So I make them into categories. So if someone's coming to a wedding, what's the first thing anybody wants to see? Bride and groom. No questions asked. Like that's irrefutable truth. Like you can't deny that. The next thing they want to see is families. The next thing after that, probably the bride wants to see details. Then from there, I'll go chronological. Getting ready, ceremony. And then I like divide it into categories because I want to make it as easy as humanly possible for my clients to find the exact image they want. So there'll be guests, there's toasts, there's dancing, there's cake cutting, and there's leaving. I want to avoid having a category that has anything more than like 100 images because after that, it's boring.
Yeah.
You've lost my attention. I'm out. So like for families, like for a family session, tops, and it depends on the size because I do shoot really large families. Like I've shot a family that's up to like 75 people.
I'm looking at one of your galleries right now.
Okay. And like, there's not a ton. You know, like a family session, I'm delivering about 75 images and I divide it in color and black and white. Upload them, I choose what I show you first. Like yeah, I'm going to choose my favorite 15, like what I feel is going to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Up front. And not that all of them aren't good. I've done my work. So when I get my scans back, so if I was a digital photographer, I'm going to go through and I have to cull. I'm going to cull three times.
Okay.
I'm going to go through my folder, the first initial one, and like delete anything that's somewhat similar. I have to choose. I don't ever want to put the responsibility on my client.
I call this the inhale, exhale photo. In this photo, they're inhaling. In this one, they're exhaling. Nobody can tell what's happening in here. So like I do that, like the one that is similar, delete it.
It's our responsibility because if you give them both, they're going to sit on their hands and you've lost sales because right. They don't know which one to buy. They're like, well, why are you showing me these? Like, I don't know which one to choose. When I like, so for a wedding, like a photo of the bride's family, I'm giving you one.
I do that too.
One. Like, why would I give you options? Like, this is the best one. And like, if someone comes ask, is there more? I'm like, no. No. And here's the thing. If people come back and ask for more, you didn't call correctly. If I call correctly, you are never asking me for more because I have not only blown your mind, I've given you such a limited amount. Like every photo is a throat puncher. Like I'm just like, bah, you punch you in the throat. The only way you can breathe is keep scrolling and looking at the next images, right? Like that's how it works. So with like families, I've got it divided in black and white and color because again, it's maybe 75 images. Some were shot in true black and white and some were shot. Anyway.
Okay. So I love this. I love what you have told us, but that for me, and I'm a dog with a bone in here. That for me is a website. We can agree to disagree, but that for me is a website. You have an online platform where people can see your best work. You actually are giving them, which is something I advocate constantly for, like, you have to give them enough content for them to stay in. Like, yeah. People have to stay in your website. Yep. So you're giving me content to, like, stay in it. And then from this platform, I can book you.
Yes. Yes, you can. Okay. Sure. Sure. But I guess I don't have like, because like my real website is the biggest mistake I ever did. When I made my business, I was Jonathan Canlis Photography. You know how many letters that is? My email was like Jonathan@JonathanCanlisPhotography.com. And here's the thing. Who calls me Jonathan? Nobody. You know, and that's
people that owe you money and you don't want that.
And that's how I like separated it. Like when someone called me Jonathan, I was like, oh, you're not my friend. You're just like, this is like a business association. Hey, Jonathan. I'm like, okay, what's up? What do you want to hire me? What's going on here? Like, am I in trouble? Like what's going on? So I wish it was John Canlis, but like, again, the reason my website doesn't exist is like, I paid all this money to have this flash one. I don't really shoot weddings anymore. And like yes, I have websites. So I've got my Instaproofs where I I don't just post my best. I post everything. Like everything I shoot, even like my personal work, I have categories on there. So if you look at it, so if anyone's listening, if you just go to jonathan.instaproofs.com, right? And that's my proof.
That's where everything is. Everything. You can really spend hours in here because I just check out two galleries and I'm going to come back for more.
But like, so what I want to guide you to is that like I told you, I'm picking up a camera outside of paid work all the freaking time. Mm-hmm. I actually think I shoot more personal work than I do paid work.
Okay.
And I do a lot of paid work. Okay. So like if you scroll down, there's a.
What about this one? Tokyo, Japan, Christmas. Is that paid or personal?
Oh, no. I took my kids to Tokyo.
Oh, okay. Well, let's take a look at this.
I took my kids to Tokyo and I shot like, I don't know, 600 images. So you can see my whole family vacation inside here.
Isn't Tokyo like the best city ever?
I love it.
Okay, so here, once I got into the galleries, this Candido 400, Candido 800, Disneyland, Last Real Day, Godzilla. There is like
everything. Getting batches of film back, like here's where I shot. Like here's the Kodak Gold that I shot at Disneyland. Let's go out of this, because the one I want to guide you to, and there's a gallery called Hitoribochi, which means single. So it's like the gallery I created once my divorce happened.
Okay, hold on a sec.
And I started this when I was living in Hawaii. So when I lived in Hawaii, because I was shooting all this personal work living in Hawaii that had nothing to do with my paid work, but I needed a gallery for it. So I called it Life of Aloha. And then we moved back to Utah, and I moved to this town called Payson, and then I started calling that gallery Petitney. And then I got divorced, and I started a whole new life, and I wanted to start documenting that. So as I do personal work in this time period of my life, it gets uploaded to Hitoribochi.
I can't find it. I'm all the way to Life of Aloha.
Oh, go up. You passed it.
Okay. Then I'm in Cuba.
Keep going a little higher. It's called Hito, H-I-T. So it's a Japanese word.
Okay, got it. H-I-T. Okay.
Hitoribochi, single. That's what it means.
Okay.
And here's everything I've shot since then in categories, right? Now, again, I'm not going to divide these into black and white, but like you can scroll to the bottom. You start to see like Candido 400, Contacts Test, like Avery and Rain is like the most recent thing I shot of my trans son and his girlfriend, you know?
Aww.
But I have everything in here. And again, as I'm doing it, I want to make sure that the best photo is in the front. Because I know I'm not ignorant enough to think or naive to think that I'm the only person looking at this. I know people are in here stalking. I get emails every day from Instaproofs that gives me like a report, and I can see who's looking at what.
I see my email there a lot.
And I want that. I hate the idea of a password. Like I've talked to every client I've ever had out of passwords, because if there's a password,
how do you deal with privacy? Because the first gallery that I opened, I thought it was just like a couple, and it's like a very intimate session. There is nudity. They're doing it literally.
Oh, you were, yeah. So that got taken down because.
It's there.
I did put a password on that because Instaproofs emailed me and was like, hey, there's laws in Utah where like, you know, because like a 16-year-old could be in there and just looking at like.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. So I had to put a password on that. There's a couple galleries on my site right now that have passwords because there's nudity.
How do you deal with clients? What if a client tells you like, listen, love the idea, but I want privacy. I don't want my images being in this platform.
They're not my clients.
They're not your clients. So that's a deal breaker for you. So
it's a massive deal breaker. So if someone says, I can't share your images, I don't know that I want you to hire me, because every person that hires me is a stepping stone to my next work. If I cannot use your body, because think about it. The real truth is the best photo shoot I have ever done is tomorrow.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
If I cannot market what I'm about to shoot, this shoot to me is dead. It has a finite amount of income.
Mm-hmm.
Every shoot that I do, I look as an opportunity to make more shoots, to make more money, right? And if I can't share this, and I also try and talk about them, like, look, you know, people aren't, I get clients want me private, whatever, but like, people aren't coming to my Instaproofs and being like, some ex-girlfriend's like, I got him. I'm going to go take all these photos. You know what I mean? That shit's not happening. Right. And I tell them, I was like, look, this is a platform for you to share with all your friends and family. like, I'm doing you a service here. This is included with all of my shoots. Like, everything's online, depending on how long you hire me, for at least 9 months, sometimes up to a year, right? And so you can share it with whoever you want. You get to determine. I'm not mass emailing people. I'm going to give it to you, and you get to determine who you share. I just don't want passwords, because think about it. Like, if you put a password on it, then you've got to make sure, like, say, your cousin from Korea that doesn't know, or grandma that wants to buy a shit ton of prints but's in the wheelchair. I basically put, like, a... Okay, say here comes grandma in her wheelchair. Her pockets are full of cash, right? And I just put down, like, a spike strip right in front of her wheelchair. And boom, pops her tire. She falls out of her chair. All the money falls out on the floor and not into my pocket, because she couldn't order because there's a stupid password on it.
No, I mean, I see that. I just, and again, I myself with my clients, I don't know, maybe because I treat my clients the way that, maybe I project a lot of my things into my clients, which is like privacy and things like that. He's nodding like, yes, girl, stop.
Because here's the thing. It is like, it's not advertised anywhere. It's on this site, but you're on this site with all of my clients. And like, I know I have a lot of clients that will look at their event and then go to another event and start poking around. And I want that. And the reason being is it's that validation to them. It's like, oh, he didn't just do this for me. He's doing this for these other, like, I have nothing to hide. I want you in my galleries. Because if you look at this, you're like, so let's go back to the guy I'm shooting with, this personal work, right? I don't ever want my personal work to look any different than my paid work. It's the same damn thing. You are paying me for the skill that I'm using on my kids, on the stories that I have access and trust to just you. Now you're hiring me to do what I've done on my own for you.
That makes sense. And that technically is a very powerful selling point.
You know, like if I saw someone's paid work and then saw their body of personal work and they were different, I would have issue with that. Because we all have a voice, right? We're all saying something.
Mm-hmm.
If you're saying something wildly different in your personal work that you're not in your professional work, what's going on?
Yeah.
Right? Like, how can you be, it's not being two-faced, but it's almost like you're not putting who you are in your paid work. I want to see you. I want to see your voice. Like, I'm going to, like, people hire you because you're you, your personality. Right? That's that 85%. Mm-hmm. It's the 10% of you decided, I can see you took the photo at the right time. And 5% is just showing up and pushing the button. Right? But people hire, people stay on someone's website. People decide to smash that buy button because of who you are. And like, if you're just showing up, taking photos and like creating this look, and you as yourself are lost in there, that's not anything I want to have to be a part of. Mm-hmm. Like, photography has become a thing to me where I'm going to pick my camera up whether you hire me or not. You know? So with this divorce, I get my kids 50-50, right? So, which is amazing, shitty, and amazing all at once. Because, like, I get half the week, they can go fuck off, and I can be free, which is nice. Sorry, I love my kids if you're listening. But the time that I do have with them, it's limited now, right? So I always try and take photos of when they're with me.
How do they feel about you always photographing them?
I'll tell you this. There was a time when life was busy or I was stressed and just things were, I was traveling a lot. And one of my kids came up to me and was like, hey, Dad, you haven't taken our photo in a while. Something going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they almost interpreted it as like, do you not love me anymore? You know, like that's how ingrained it is in my kids. Like my first son was born in 2003 and I've been shooting that kid for almost 21 years. You know, a lot of it is it's slowed down because he's in college now, but like before he graduated high school, every month I had this project, right? I'm always working on three projects. Mm-hmm. One that I'm working currently this month, something I'm working on 6 months, and then there's like the lifelong story. That lifelong story was, no matter what, once a month, I need all my kids in a frame. I don't care what they're doing, because there's six of them, right? So it's nice to be able to style it, make it look all cool. But what the fuck? That's not happening with kids that were 18 and under, you know?
So I'm looking at your gallery right now, and it seems like they're in PJs. They all look fantastic. It looks styled, even though probably it wasn't.
And that's I know my ex hated that. She'd like hate that, like I wouldn't do their hair or whatever. I don't care about a curated look. But I know my kids.
So cool. No, like, and like I know the way that you photograph them looks so cool. And as you said,
yeah, and it goes back to me shooting bands. Like I always had this idea of how I would place bands and do this super editorial, like Entertainment Weekly covers, you know, like I used to follow these photographers in the CA, so Communication Arts.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, like if you're listening, you're a photographer, every year they come out with the photo annual for Communication Arts. You should like literally get that issue. I think it comes out in August, and you should buy the last 10 issues. Because it's whoever is literally it in editorial portraiture or whatever's happening in photography is in this map, in this thick book. And like, I remember in college, like there were, I knew who was shooting the magazine covers I wanted to be shooting. And I would look at their work. If there's one thing anyone that's listening to this today takes away, if you are shooting weddings, if you are shooting families, whatever genre it is that you're in, stop looking at Forever Moments by Debbie, who's doing the same damn thing.
Not Forever Moments by Debbie.
I love Debbie. She's really nice. Or like Creative with a K, Moments by Stefan with a PH.
Oh.
Like, I guess what I'm saying is, I don't ever look at other photographers who shoot families. I do not want to get my inspiration from someone who shoots weddings. Good God, do you know what I would give to show up to a wedding and have like a Men in Black moment where they just erase everything I know about weddings.
Mm.
And then now I get to interpret this event off of who I am as a person. Right? Like I'm going to gravitate to what's important versus what I've been told I have to take a photo of. How many times have you taken a photo of people cutting cake? Would you ever done that on your own? I mean, maybe like, oh, they're doing this thing and there's something exciting, but that's not what I'm gravitating to. But that's what everyone is molded to, or you think you have to do because you've been like brainwashed by looking at all these other people that are in your industry. You want to get inspiration? You go to the masters. You go to people who are outside of your industry that are not shooting anything that you're doing. And you take that and make it your own.
Friend, this is a short podcast intermission to remind you that every month I am uploading actionable short tutorials about SEO, blogging, content creation, website reviews, and much more on my Patreon. Each tutorial has a very specific goal to help you level up an aspect of your business. You can access these tutorials at any time and as many times as you need to. In addition, each month I am also hosting a live call where you can ask any questions regarding your business or marketing strategies. This is like having a tiny coaching call with me. You can currently access over 50 tutorials for only $10 a month. Join today. I have a direct link on the notes of this episode for you to check it out. Now, back to the episode. I'm feeling very emotional with this conversation, if I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
It's like a lot of internal work happening.
What's making you feel these things? Tell me about your mother.
It's making me feel really, really emotional. I think that I'm in this like point in my career when I need like a really big shift, and I haven't been able to like know what this big shift is, and this gave me a lot of clarity. I also like remember like when I started photography, even before it became a business, I always complained that my family didn't take photos. Growing up, I have like two photos of myself. I was just like always so annoyed at it. So my husband was like, well, stop being annoyed. Here, when we first got married, which was like 20 years ago, he's like, here is a camera. Go and take photos if that's what it's annoying you. Yeah. And I did like 3 years of just self-portraits. And the reason why was because I'm like, I was so afraid of like asking people if I can photograph them. So I'm like, I'm just gonna take pictures of myself. And now when I look back and I look at some of those photos, like that was like very raw work.
Yeah.
Some very beautiful, some obviously was like trash, but it was none.
And it was you in that season.
Exactly. And it was also like, because it was just pictures of me and I wasn't showing them to everybody, I allow myself to explore.
Yep.
I did a lot of things that I'm like, oh, I would have never asked anybody to, you know, do a photo shoot like that or something like that. And that like inspired me a lot. So when I became like a photo, when people start asking me to, you know, to get paid, I was like really excited to carry on like that freshness, right? Like me into the sessions. And as I got better at marketing and things like that, I became very, very like, if I'm gonna be honest, like cookie cutter. Like I became really like, this is what works financially. And I got so busy that I left my kind of like my intuition, probably like I stopped, you know, doing that.
I want to be really clear. There is nothing wrong with having photography be a job. That's okay. That's okay if you show up and you create this thing and like that's your work and then you put the camera away. There's nothing wrong with that. What I'm saying is that's not how it works for you.
No, correct. And like I'm not taking it bad what you're saying. I'm just saying like how things could be different for me, like if I allow myself to play again.
Mm-hmm.
If I take my camera, you know, like I'm feeling burned out. Like it's a lot of like hours in the computer. Like if I just take my camera and go and fuck around, like I'll go and have
and
fun.
That's the thing. It's this like vicious cycle, right? You feel this burnout. So of course you don't want to pick up your camera.
Mm.
But what if the solution to the burnout was actually picking the camera, right? You go and you find that joy. You go and like, okay, I'm only going to shoot what I want, right? Now, it's a pipe dream to think that every gig you're going to show up to is just going to be this amazing thing and it's just fun all the time, blah, blah. It's a job. It's a job. At the end of the day, when someone gives me a paycheck, it is a fucking job. You are my client. You are my boss. Here's a little tidbit. I was fired from every job I ever had until I became self-employed. I cannot handle someone telling me what to do, how to do it, or when to do it.
Mm.
You know, like I'll tell you, there's times at a wedding when like this group will come up to me and say, hey, we want a photo. And I'm like, I'm just lying crap on where we are. And I'll go over there and I'll just hit the depth of field preview button, or I'll pop the flash at the back. So it looks like I'm taking photos, and I'm not. I'm a little baby.
I think that's every other photographer's pet peeve. When you're at a wedding and somebody like taps you on your shoulder, he's like, oh my God, did you take a picture of this? It's really beautiful. What's happening? Sir, don't you see me? I'm taking photos of something else.
Yeah. Or like, did you get a photo of the cake? And I'm like, there's a cake? I didn't know. Oh my God.
Yeah, I think that's
here's the thing. Here's the thing. Like, I love photography. I love. Okay. I think one of the big aspects of photography, why I like it so much, ties into trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Like, so when I was a Mormon missionary, I told you this.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got into photography. So when I was 20, my dad died. On my mission. Unexpectedly. I didn't think he would die. And like, I also had this like weird religious idea that if I went on a mission, like God would keep him alive. Anyway, to me, photography is hoarding. Like if I take, cause I'm constantly shooting, right? I'm always shooting my kids, you know? And a lot of them were like, why are you always doing this? And I'm like, to me, it's like, if I do this, you can't take it away. I can't be robbed of it, you know, like.
I was just recently last week featured in a short story for Pixaloo. And when they contact me, they're like, we want to do, you know, a story about you, whatever. Yep. So we kind of have an idea of where the story is going to go, but like really they don't tell you like a script or anything like that. And I told them that because they're about, you know, it's a company about albums, I wanted to talk about my personal albums. And I print every single vacation photo and things like that, even though they're crap because my husband cannot get a good photo to save his life. But like, they're my photos.
And but that's good because you don't, no one became a photographer to let your JPEGs grow up to be JPEGs.
Correct.
And you know what the worst hobby is in the world? Collecting ones and zeros.
True. So in this conversation, we talk about my grandma, and my grandma had Alzheimer's. And it was really difficult for me to see her go like that, right? And I talk about, like, why do I print every single album? It's because I want to have my memories printed. Like, I want to go back to my Japan book and be like, oh, my God, we had so much fun that day. Even though the memory is not fresh in my mind, once I see the photo, the memory is there. So yeah, thank you. I'll lend you some money for this therapy session later. So that was good. Again. So, okay, well, let's circle back this because there's another thing that I want to talk about that you have. You talk a lot about personal work, and I know that you have these like destination trips when you take people and you just shoot. There is no style shoes, there's nothing. You just go and shoot the city or what happened. Tell me about it because that sounds interesting.
Yeah, so I guess this would go back into my story. I used to do a workshop called Film Is Not Dead. Mm-hmm. Started that back in, I think, March of 2008. And that, in 2008, when the digital was king, it was basically doing workshops about film. It's crazy. And that went all over the world. And then I stopped because I was traveling all the time. And I had 6 kids. I think the last 4 workshops I did were in Perth, Australia, Monterey, Mexico. There was one in Berlin, and then there was one in Hawaii. Like, that's a week and a half away from my family, right? Mm-hmm. So I turned it into an online thing. And then because of the workshop, I started the Find Lab. Find stands for Film Is Not Dead. Mm-hmm. Right? And then, you know, I just kind of, I retired all of my teaching things. I had like a business guide. There was like a family guide. There was Film Is Not Dead, Find in a Box, basically an online version of it. And I don't know, I'm always like, like you said, right? Like, you look at your photos and you're like, oh, I was this person at that time. Mm. I've had a lot of like change in my life in the last couple of years, you know, and just in my life in general, right? And like, I feel like we're always evolving, right? You should never be really satisfied with your images, because the second you are, your man bun has now become like a ponytail. Mm. Like, my biggest fear is being washed up, like being... I have this, I'm going to admit it. I have this fear that one day I'm going to create this body of work that I'm super proud of, and all the kids are like, lame, you know, like, or whatever, like that, whatever I just did, that I just dabbed, like that makes me lame dab, you know, like I'm constantly trying to like improve my voice. Like, I already know, I already said this, like my best photo is going to be taken tomorrow. I did, like, everyone's asked, what's your favorite photo? It's the one I'm going to take tomorrow, because that's my best body. Like, you're getting me at the best version of myself. Mm. Right, because I am picking my camera so often outside of these paid gigs. So I started to do this workshop called Film School Road Trip, where and I hate to call it a workshop. It's not a workshop. Like, I'll teach you about shooting film. Like, and I'll be honest, there are people that come that don't shoot film.
That's going to be my further question.
But like, I take them to places that I feel will make you better, not only as a photographer, but as a human. So I just got back from Cuba in February, just a couple of weeks. It's been a week. It's today, Thursday. I've been home a week and 2 days from Cuba. And we go, and there are no styled shoots. There are no anything. It's a curated trip by myself. Like, I think a lot of photographers experienced what I did. I remember looking through National Geographic, right? Seeing Kodachrome images of Cuba. I first got introduced to Cuba in 2016 because of the lab. We were sponsoring this workshop called the Three Dudes Workshop. Mm-hmm. And one of the dudes got sick, so they asked me to come on. Now, these other two dudes are doing like styled shoots, parading girls in like $10,000 dresses in Cuba, which I think I have a problem with.
Yeah.
You know, when people make $12 a month and you're parading someone in a $10,000 dress, that's more money they'll ever see in their lifetime. And like, I don't care about that stuff. When when I pick up a camera, I am not doing anything wedding related. Fuck that shit. Do you know what I mean? That's not what I gravitate to. What everyone should be gravitating to is where you have access. Your photos are only as good as your access, and your access is only as good as your trust. So you have stories that you and only you can tell. Are you going to pick your camera up and do it? I fucking hope you do. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I have access. I I've been going to Cuba for almost 10 years now, right? And this last one, I was going to quit. It was like, I don't know that I want to do film school road trip in Cuba anymore, because no matter how you look at it, it's poverty tourism. Okay? There's nothing, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, as much as I'm trying to help. Like, I didn't want to be a part of this. Like, it's great. And I've been able to help some people, but I decided this last time, when it was all, the workshop ended on Monday, and then we went to a friend's house who we help. Like, I tell my attendees, bring a duffel bag, it's $25, and fill it with all the things that you can't, that you take for granted, that people in Cuba would kill for. We can walk into a Walmart that has 100,000 items for sale, and then there's a line around the block, people fighting over four items in Cuba. Right? So I tell them, fill it with crayons, pencils, tampons, daily vitamins, ibuprofen, stuff that we don't, like, I just walk into Walmart, I can get it whenever I want. I can go to Walgreens, I can get it from multiple places. These people can't get it. So the reason I decided I'm going to go back is because I know I can't change everyone. I can't help everyone. And there was a lot of guilt of taking kind of like, you know, well-established photographers on this thing. And here we are just prancing through the streets with rigs that, you know, it's no different than the wedding dress. Some people have like $5,000 rigs, you know? But on that last day, we went and like had dinner with this family, and they kind of live on a compound with like 10 other families. And like, there were kids playing with the soccer balls that we bought, you know? And like seeing the people that we did come across, and I know we're making a difference. I'm gonna share this story with you, okay? Mm-hmm. On the first evening, we go up to this castle that overlooks Havana, right? It's this big, it was this fortress. And as we were pulling up in the cars, I see this guy on the hill with like an 11 by 14, like view camera, like, you know, like an old school wooden mm-hmm. box camera. And, you know, I know what we're gonna do. We're there to shoot the sunset and take portraits of each other, hang out, whatever. And I was like, okay, everybody, I don't know who that dude is, but I'm going straight there because holy shit, I thought it was a tourist. Because who in Cuba is going to have an 11 by 14 view camera? Mm-hmm. We get up there and it's a Cuban guy. And he's taking photos of people, but let me tell you how he's doing it. Because this, and this all goes down to why I love going to Cuba. 2 + 2 = 5. Meaning, mm-hmm. a doctor can go to school for free and then you have to work for the government for 4 years, $12 an hour. That's a doctor. Now, you get a taxi driver who works over the weekend, he can make $2,000. That doesn't make sense, right? So we've got this guy with Cuban ingenuity. There's no film to be had. There's no 35 millimeter. There's no 120. There's nothing. He's got this camera, and inside the camera, he has two little trays. So he's shooting on paper, taking the photo, developing it inside the camera, and then washing it. And you look at it, and it's a negative. So it doesn't look right. It's inverted. Right? Mm-hmm. Like it's backwards. So then he opens this standard on the front of the camera, moves it, takes another photo of that, develops it, and then you have a phone.
And that's something he made?
He acquired the camera, but he's shooting on like a darkroom paper.
Got it.
I was blown away. I'm like, what? Okay, he's charging $5 per photo, right? Mm-hmm. Now remember, it's $12 a month as a normal salary. Mm-hmm. So, and he was saying, I usually do about 2 or 3 of these pictures a day, right? So I got the whole group. I was like, we're doing a group shot, and then you're going to do a shot of these people from the Find Lab. And I gave him $100, which, you know, $100 to me is, I'm not going to bark at it. $100 is $100. Mm-hmm. Let's take my kids out to the movies, take them out to dinner, whatever. But to him, that was a big deal. And I don't speak Spanish. So there were some other people there translating. And I was like, I want you to use this money, get a better lens. Like, get one where you can get separation and like make these images look cool. Like, think about your composition. Like, you are doing something that's incredible, but you need to take it further. You know, like, I'm trying to help him as a photographer. There's no one in Cuba doing what he's doing. And it was mind blowing to me. And so I helped him, you know, and like, because we were there, other people were hiring him. So I'm going back. I'm like announcing that I'm going back to Cuba like in a couple of days because I can't help everyone. And yes, there is some poverty tourism to it. But even though that's still happening, the people that we do come into touch with, I know, like we're literally changing their lives. You bring a duffel bag full of $100 worth of stuff from Walmart, you've literally helped a family for a year. Mm. Right? So I do these film school road trips, and that's exactly what they are. It's absolutely curated. You don't have to do a thing. You just show up. You just have to get there. You got to buy your plane ticket and then pay for tuition. But they take people to Cuba. We went to Iceland. I stopped Iceland because the volcano erupted, and I don't want people dying in the volcano. And I go to Tokyo. I go to places that mean something to me. You know?
Love it. I'm really interested in the Tokyo one. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. John, it was a pleasure chatting with you. I know we started talking about non-website, but I'm going to give this a point to myself. I think you do have a website. And that's
Sure. Go check out JonathanCanlisPhotography.com and see what happens, guys.
You need to have flash. I don't think computers can hold, like, can go back there. But you can check it out, Jonathan, that instaproof.com. And check out a lot of work in there. And then you can decide if this is a website or not.
So, I mean, if we're going to close this up, the one thing I would like to talk about that we haven't touched on is Instagram.
So, oh, okay. Well, tell me. Let's talk about this.
So I post Instagram every day. Mm-hmm. Every day without fail. And over a couple of different platforms. I got the film school road trip. We've got Jonathan Canlis. There was something for Friday in the Box. Anyway, that's how I get almost all of my work.
Are you concerned that your account gets hacked, something happens, you lose everything that you have posted on Instagram?
Just start over.
Oh, okay. Easy breezy.
I mean, you know, I mean, that's just a sharing platform. And like,
when you're posting on your Instagram, you are guiding people to go to your InstaProof account, aren't you?
So one thing I haven't mentioned is that my InstaProofs is how I like collect money. Mm-hmm. So if you're gonna pay a retainer or book a family session or come to a workshop, buy prints, everything is run through InstaProofs. Like rarely does someone ever like, I hate Venmo. I don't want Venmo. Mm-hmm. I don't want, like, that's how people pay. So like all of my fine, like I give my account and my login to InstaProofs because that's where all my money's coming from. And then every once in a while, someone like will PayPal me or, it's really rare, you know, but like that's how all of my bookings are made. So I do have like a booking site. Like if you click on my Instagram and like go to my like link tree or whatever it's called, like all the links in there, like you can see all the ways that you can book me, right? Mm-hmm. Like the first link is family sessions that are available at my Payson studio, family sessions that I'm going later this month to Austin, Texas, New Orleans, and then film school road trips, you know, like I have websites, but they're just basically like landing pages that will allow clients to see what's available, when you can book me, choose a time slot, all that. So.
Got it. All righty. So a couple of things that we took from this, you do need some kind of platform.
Absolutely.
This is not like, oh, I don't have a website. I don't exist in the world.
Yes.
So you do have to have a platform. Second thing that we got from this is like, you should, and this is going to help you not only on your photography, but in your personal life, have personal projects. You should not just shooting for business because then you get burnout. You don't get to explore. You don't get to have fun. You don't get to make mistakes, right? You don't want to go to a wedding to like fuck it up, right? That's not what we're going to do.
I am never practicing
exactly
my skill on someone's paid gift.
Exactly. So we're not going to do that. And the third thing is that we're going to use social media, whether it's Instagram, TikTok, whatever, to showcase our work, get people excited, and then we're going to guide them to, John says a platform, I say a website.
It's my proving site. It's my
proving site. Exactly, a proving site. And if you are interested in seeing his work, I'm going to put a link to all of that. And if you're interested in going to either Cuba or Tokyo with John and have fun, take photos of, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen there. There is not a plan.
It's life. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think
every photographer should be like, you need to be looking for these stories. Like I said this, right? You need to be looking for the stories that you have access to. Mm-hmm. Like the stories you care about. And the stories you probably care about are ones that you have access to. And you have access because there's trust. Right? Like whoever, like, for example, you're talking about taking photos of your grandmother with Alzheimer's, right? I could show up and shoot it and I might get some good images, but the images that you take are going to be stronger because of the connection that you have there, because of the trust that you've already established with this woman through however many years in your life. We all have stories that we have access to tell. I just wish that people would look beyond, like, go back to what you were inspired to pick a camera up for in the first place. I understand burnout. I understand hustling. I understand trying to make money for six kids and alimony and child support, right? Like, it's a hustle. I get it, right? But I don't ever want to lose sight of why I decided to start doing this. I wanted to tell my story. And I hope that people who have listened to this are inspired enough to go pick up a camera to start telling your story. Because if you want to avoid burnout, you need to fall in love with what it is that you're doing and stop falling out of love with it, which means figure out what parts don't you love. You don't love sitting in front of a computer. You don't love sitting through and calling and deciding which is what, right? Like, and there's ways to do that. I mean, great. If you're charging a ton of money, you can outsource stuff. Awesome. But that's not an option for, I know a lot of people that are starting, right? So do what lights you up and do what will allow you to make space for your personality to shine, because that's what's going to set you apart when everyone throws that phone down from everybody else.
So good.
You can try and be me. You can try and emulate me all you want, but at the end of the day, you're not. I don't want to be anyone else but me.
Ah, John, so good talking to you. I feel inspired. I feel like if I had, you know, when you go to therapy, I'm like, I feel, but in a good way. Like, it was good. It was a good chat. And I'm so happy that you took me on a road that I wasn't expecting. So that was fun. I love little surprises like that. Thank you so much for
thank you.
Andy, thanks for listening, everybody. And for your time. And for all of you that stay all the way to the end, thanks so much for being here. You can find all the information about John on the link, on the comments, I mean, on the description of this episode.
On the website.
On the website.
The link on the website.
Exactly. And thank you so much for being here. And I'll catch you next episode with another amazing guest. Until then, ciao.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. For more info about marketing tips for photographers and show notes, please visit thetogrepublic.com. If you enjoyed today's show, please go to iTunes and leave us a review. Want even more? Join our marketing community group. Just search for The Tog Republic Group on Facebook. Until next week.